All right. Welcome in to the Toilets to Titles podcast. This is the divisional playoff episode. It is episode number 37, and I am here. I am your host, John Sheps, at Coach Sheps on the Twitter. And with me are my two dudes. If you're watching on live, to my right, Justin Stevens at JustinFF_, whose Colts were eliminated. Sorry to bring that up, Justin. What's happening?
Well, we bring it up enough that your Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, so I guess I've got to accept it when you tell me that my Colts were eliminated. But it was a better game than I thought it was going to be. They gave them a hell of a run. It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm looking forward to today. Basketball team is 1-0. My niece's basketball team. We got another game this morning, so. So yeah, we're gonna.
How far away from you, victory wise, are you from Coach K? So, but if you don't know, Justin coaches basketball. Coach K doesn't have any more wins than you.
I don't know exactly what Coach K's win percentage is, but as a basketball coach, I'm at 100%. So I'd say he's well behind me.
Yeah. Well behind me. You should probably just retire.
I honestly wish I could.
That's not retiring. That's quitting.
Wait till the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't know. Coach Saban just moved over to college in the middle of the season. Maybe I could just move over to the recliner in the middle of the season.
Right. And just solid couch move. Coach. You can be a couch coach.
There you go.
All right. And if you're watching live, below me is my dude, Nate, at Nate_dirt19. Nate, what's cooking, man?
Not a whole lot, you know, just living the dream, having, enjoying my weekend.
He's got his green and yellow on. The Packers Packers got a juicy matchup this week versus the Rams that we'll talk about later on that they should win. Nate's living the dream right now.
I am. Just, you know, it's exciting. It's a heck of a time to be alive, you know.
Hell yeah. That's a great attitude. That type of shirt we need first thing in the morning. That's right. Of positivity. Man, if you're listening to the show, I'm going to tell you the other ways you can listen to us, all right? You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. You can watch us live on YouTube, or you can watch us after the fact on YouTube. You can listen on Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, and whatever you're doing, wherever you're listening, if you could go either to our Twitter account or to our show notes and find the YouTube link, or just look us up on YouTube at Toilets the Titles. Hit the like button for the most recent episodes. Hit the subscribe button. That would be greatly appreciated. And that'll help out the formula that gets us boosted up when people look up stuff like fantasy football and whatever, playoff discussion, all that stuff. And if you can, if you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be greatly appreciated if you left us a review. Because, again, that'll just help the algorithm get us bumped up. And we would really appreciate that. And that's enough with the formalities, everybody. We have a guest this week. It's another member of – Nate, what's it, is it called Packers Nation? Like, what is your – what is it called if you're a member of Packer fandom?
Yeah, I mean that's people call it that, you know, I guess that works for me. I don't know. I don't really ever say that, but Packers Nation makes the most sense, I guess. So
Packers, just another Packer, right?
Just another cheesehead, right?
Look, there you go. That's it. All right, we're bringing on another cheesehead. This is a guy we've been talking to for a long time. He's a member of our circle, good friend. He plays in a fantasy football league with us, the Too Legit Fantasy Football League, Too Legit to Not Be Lit Fantasy Football League, and that is why don't we bring him in here? It is Kyle Bell. How do we pronounce your last name, Kyle? We're close, but I don't know how to pronounce your last name. It's Kyle Bell from the IDP guys. Yeah. @KBell54. How do you pronounce it, man?
Bellafuel.
Bellafuel.
Yeah,
it's like a head coaching name, man.
I don't know. Maybe assistant. You know, maybe a coordinator, assistant to the assistant. You know.
So if the Packers are watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm available. I'm willing. Nate, me and Nate will jump on.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'll drop everything.
Yeah, I'll pick you up on the way, Nate.
Let's do it.
That sounds like a defensive coordinator's name. Bell, you know? So again, on Twitter you can see him at @KBellF54. And again, he's a contributor for the IDP guys on Twitter. They're @IDP guys. Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do over at the IDP guys and some stuff you got working on before we get into some IDP discussion, man.
Sure. No, thanks. And thanks for having me on, guys. In season this year, I wrote the waiver wire article, just kind of highlighting some guys each week that were making some noise or maybe, you know, got some more run and got a role, stepped in. So I wrote that during the season. And currently right now, our site is down because the owner, Nate, is re-imaging it. It'll be ready here, I believe, after right either Super Bowl week or after the Super Bowl. So that's pretty exciting. Really looking forward to that. And right now, a lot of us, a pretty good group of us at the site and some other guys, the guys from Dynasty Vipers, and we're working on the IDP guys rookie magazines. They started it last year. They do the offense as well as the IDP magazine, the profiles, rankings, mock drafts in there. It's a lot of cool stuff. So that's pretty much what we're working on right now while we're waiting for the site to get rebooted with its new pretty facelift. And it's draft season, so it's exciting stuff, man.
All right, so we're going to get into some IDP rookie talk. But before we get into that discussion, we all play IDP. But we don't really discuss it too much on the show. Like we'll bring it up here and there. Like if we're mid conversation talking about a player, talking about a team, like we'll bring up defensive players, but we don't really get into IDP discussion. So I wanted you to, basically give our listeners a little bit of an introduction to IDP because it's the off season and people are looking for leagues. And it's a great time to start finding IDP leagues to jump into. And this is a great pod to listen to now because you're going to give them a little bit of a breakdown to get them ready to get into those IDP leagues.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, it's the off season. It's a great time to start looking around and see what kind of leagues you might want to join. IDP, instead of playing team defense, you're playing individual defensive players. You're playing your linebackers, your defensive linemen, your defensive backs. If you're thinking about giving it a try, I definitely recommend doing it. It's just a lot of fun playing both sides of the ball, right? It just takes your experience to the next level. Mm-hmm. Right away, when you look to joining an IDP league, you want to get to know the players. Who are let's get the top guys. Like Darius Leonard. I mean, on your respective team, you're going to know who your better defensive players right. are. But like, who are the studs per se in the IDP realm of things? Like Darius Leonard or Myles Garrett. Jamal. What's that?
Fred Warner.
Fred Warner. Love Fred Warner. Yeah. Get to know the players.
I do want to touch on, you mentioning, both sides of the ball. Now, with me, a lot of the time, Thursday night football, mm-hmm. A lot of the time the matchups aren't that great. But I want to watch it because I love football. When you're playing IDP, whether it's a Thursday night game or whether it's a game that has no interest to you at all, but maybe you have a guy on the offensive side of the ball so you're interested – when you're getting points when that guy's on the field, right? When you're playing IDP, I find I have a dog in the fight a lot more than if I don't have an IDP player going. Every game, yep. every series, every snap, I likely have somebody out there who's scoring me points. And I love that. It keeps me very invested.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's nothing better than, like you said, the Thursday night game, having more to really watch. And then Monday night football, too. Like, how many times you got more players to watch Monday night that might get you the win or
right.
the other way around? I know in our two legit league, I lost in the finals, but I had a big hill to come up there at the finals. But I did have Tremaine Edmonds going, so I had a little bit of hope there Monday night.
Right.
Didn't get there, but, like, just it was cool to have something to cheer for, right, and really – hope for that pick six or fumble recovery for a touchdown or something.
My first year in that league, I made it to – I was the number one team in the league, highest score. I had a bye, made it to the playoffs after the bye, and I lost. And my offense was loaded, but I didn't invest at all in defense. Like, I picked up free agents and stuff like that. I had a few guys.
Yeah.
I got destroyed by a team whose line – he had four linebackers. And each of the linebackers scored like they went off, and I got beat by like 40, 50 points, and I completely revamped, that offseason in the draft. I drafted linebackers, and I got safeties, and I completely revamped my team to make it more balanced and actually a little more defensive heavy. And I won the championship that year. And then this year, you came in, you guys came in and dominated, and I dropped off a little bit. But, I needed some linebackers, man.
Yeah, balance definitely key. To be getting points from both sides of the ball, and that league is actually a defensive tackle premium league. So definitely want to keep an eye on who's the big guys in the trenches that are making some noise.
Mm-hmm. I tried to balance it out.
Yeah,
I found in the IDP leagues I was in, it was like linebackers, safeties, and then everything else. Defensive ends, like there was good tier of them, but like if you weren't getting 15 sacks, 14 sacks, you needed 3-4 defensive ends. Maybe we're getting too much into, but you needed guys who are getting tackles. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I wanted defensive tackles to boost up a little bit. So now you could choose, do you want to build your team around the defensive tackle? If you want to build it around the defensive end, you could build it around any way you want. And there was more than, you know what, more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of, another thing is when you play an IDP league, you get to know your scoring, you know, where are your points coming from? You know, your tackles, your sacks, your passes defended. Some leagues will, you know, give the cornerbacks a little boost. But, you know, get to know your scoring and how relative it is to your offensive players. You know, what's their points per game? You know, look at the total on the year. Where do they stack up? Who are your LB1s, your LB2s, your, like you said, your elite defensive linemen? Because there's a top tier, you know, with your Miles Garrett, Nick Bosa. Obviously, he was hurt, but Joey Bosa.
Aaron Donald in a league, and Aaron Donald is.
Yes.
Yep. A lot of people are inquiring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I talked to Kyle about it all year. Every time we talked about it all year long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was getting offers all the time.
Yeah.
He only plays like 75% of the plays. He's not even on the field all the time.
Yeah. That's kind of common for a defensive tackle, but he's just a beast, man. But yeah, it's, you know, get to know your scoring system, where your points are coming from, how they stack up. And, you know, just starting out, you know, maybe start in a group format where you're doing like the three different groups of the IDP. Your linebackers are combined, your defense alignment and defensive tackles are combined, and then your defensive backs are combined. So you have a DL, an LB, and a DB group. Kind of gets you familiar with it. You know, start there. Kind of how I started way back when I first started playing. And then, you know, if you really start enjoying it, venture out a little bit to the defensive tackle required or premium and cornerback required, cornerback premium, if that's something you're interested in. But it's a lot of fun. It really is. And it's not like a huge overtaking. It's just once you get to know the players and you kind of understand your scoring system you choose and how the players stack up, it's really a lot of fun. Working the waiver wire is – I absolutely love working – I mean, I'm probably biased because I wrote a waiver wire article. So I guess it's a shameless plug. But that's – it's big. It's definitely big on the defensive side because snaps and opportunity are just so crucial to production. You look at – like this year, two of the biggest pickups were Alex Singleton for Philadelphia and Tyrell Adams for Houston. Once McKinney went down, you know, Adams stepped in and was just awesome to finish the year. And Alex Singleton in Philadelphia was a player that had flashed a little bit. I liked what he brought to the table. You know, and Nate Gary had been the guy there. You know, he's a really good IDP. Well, really good. He's a good IDP asset, I guess, productive. But like NFL-wise, if you saw anything Philadelphia fans were saying, he wasn't necessarily a good NFL player. And I wanted to grab Singleton when I could.
Like, is that like Blake Martinez? I know Green Bay Packers fans, he was killing it in IDP last year. And you guys didn't like him too much. I was hearing
Wait. Hey, I always have loved Blake Martinez. Yes. Always. And he's always been a good fantasy player.
I heard a lot of Blake Martinez makes all his tackles 7-8 yards up the field. That's what I heard a lot.
There was such.
Like, I'd rather be 7-8 yards up the field getting tackled than 28 yards up the field getting tackled. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that's what he's used to.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was always a Blake fan. I hated to see him go too. Oh man.
Me too.
Such a bummer, and he keeps doing what he's doing over there in New York. So. Yeah.
Some guys picked up on the waiver wire this year. I managed to get Dre Greenlaw. Someone got him. Daniel Sorensen. The safety from Kansas City had a monster year, and I had him in years past.
Yeah,
he gets linebacker numbers, and that's another thing. If you can get guys who get you linebacker numbers, or what, like, because linebackers I find are that's my glue. I like to build around that because those guys, you know, who else will pick up? Chris Barnes, Green Bay Packer. I got him on my taxi squad. He was killing it. Yeah. Who else? There was a defensive end from the Detroit Lions.
Okwara
had a good stretch run. I picked him up. We play in another league. So I started with Too Legit. That was my first IDP I commissioned. And then I started a league called Fictional Fantasy Football League that Nate and Justin are in as well. And I took it a step up. Now I made it, like you said, how you kind of evolve, right, from just the core positions to now you need to have defensive tackles, defensive ends. I made it so that you have to pick a defensive formation. And before the season starts, you have to comment in the message board post what defensive scheme you're running. and you have to run that week in, week out. And if you don't, you automatically lose that week. And
that drives me crazy too, because like it'll look great at the start of the season. It'd be like, this is how I got to run my team. I'm loaded at this position. And then about 6 weeks in, you're like, you know what? NFL teams change up their schemes. Why shouldn't I be able to change mine?
You're allowed to change once. You're allowed to change once, but then you can't change back. Oh, you know what I mean?
I should probably read the rule books before I start ranting.
So you're allowed to change once in season, but then you can't flip it again. But that one, you know, I really, you know, I got Jamal Adams was like, when he came off down the stretch at my safety position, you know, he carried me. He was probably one of my top performers. He was like Alvin Kamara for my defense.
9.5 sacks as a safety is just wild, you know.
He's a linebacker. Quit calling him a safety. I'm over it.
I was waiting for that.
He's a dude. All right.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Yeah.
Work the wire, and then now tell us about following the snaps and trends.
Yeah, definitely. You got to follow the snaps. You know, if just because a player has a big week, you know, production wise, has a sack or a couple tackles, whatever, and like flashes. You know, he might have only played 16, 17 snaps or something, you know, in a sub package or whatever. You got to just kind of keep an eye on what way the snaps are trending for certain players. You know, Green Bay is a good example here towards the end of the year. You mentioned Chris Barnes. You know, Kirksey was hurt early on. Barnes kind of made his impact there. But then at the end of the year here, you know, Barnes is just playing more. They just started to go, you know, trend that way with him. And, you know, you just got to kind of keep an eye on that, you know. And there's other situations too where you know, there was a little while there. Zach Cunningham had a fantastic year. His snaps went down for a few weeks, and not exactly sure why, but then it picked back up. So just keep an eye on it. And, you know, you got to have opportunity to get production in any aspect of football, and especially in IDP. You have to be on the field, be able to make the tackles, get the pass rush snaps from defensive end, and defensive tackle, and safeties as well. You know, and like say a guy like Adrian Phillips for the Patriots, plays roughly right around 80% of the snaps. I would say weekly was probably the sweet spot for him, but majority was in the box, you know. Like Nate said with Adams, he was more of a linebacker. Well, right. Adrian Phillips was, you know, so those 80% of those snaps were where you want it, right? In the money spot, making tackles, not deep. I mean, deep safeties are fine too. They, you know, they're on the field.
But the reason why that's important is because like a safety in my scoring system. So if you're listening to the show and you don't understand scoring system, you'll at least understand the difference. Safeties score on average in my leagues, a good safety, like 8 to 12 points. And then a good linebacker is scoring 15 to 18 points. Now, when you get a safety who's playing in the box and he surpasses 12 points and he's scoring 15 to 18 points because he's playing like a linebacker, that's a cheat. You're essentially have an additional linebacker. You get a 6-point boost on average. So that's huge. You need that's like Sorensen. Like I know Nate was saying, Jamal Adams, Sorensen's a linebacker.
Yep.
Sorensen plays, you know, and again, I had him in years past because they played him in this role, but this was the guy's like 30, 31. And I thought I let him go every offseason. He's a guy who I pick up and I start and I let him go. And I've probably done that the last 3 or 4 years. And this year was he peaked. You know, he had a monster year. So that's huge when you can get, you know, you could find guys who are tweeners like that, you know?
Translate that into an offensive metaphor. It's kind of like a quarterback that actually runs the football.
Right.
You get those extra points, and now you're getting quarterback and running back points for your quarterback position. But I got another question for you, Kyle. You were talking about how you want to monitor those snap counts and percentages and stuff. What are, for our listeners, and by our listeners, I mean those of us that struggle in IDP, where are some sites that you like to go to follow those kind of trends?
The NFL GSIS site, you can go on there after the week's done. They have a game book. You can see, you know.
Did you say NFL Jesus?
GSIS. NFL GSIS.
I was going to say.
No, sorry.
You can't just throw that in there. You can't just throw in NFL Jesus. I've never heard of this NFL Jesus. You know?
You're going to make me religious, Kyle.
All right. Sorry.
The NFL GSIS site, SIS, they have the game books for the week if you want to check it out there. At IDP, guys, we have a snap tab, too, that keeps track of them, Pro Football Reference. There's people on Twitter that will tweet them out, too. Just there's a few places to keep tabs on them and keep keep an eye on what's going on where and who's playing, who's not, stuff like that.
Right on. All right. So better question from Joshua Bigby.
It's a good question.
Fusion FFB. It's a great question. Better to play here, Julio Jones or DK Metcalf? I'm going to say Julio Jones. I got more film on him. Yeah. DK Metcalf, run and chase. It's one thing to hit somebody from behind, but I've seen Julio just blast people in the face.
And I saw DK knock down a lot of balls last week that were thrown to him. So, I don't know. He's pretty good, I guess, too.
Yeah, well, John is a Matt Ryan owner, so he pays close attention to that film on Julio's defense. So.
And I have to hold him. I'm going to be a Matt Ryan owner next year, too, because his value is going to be great. And because I have him in so many leagues, I can't get rid of him. And I'm going to be sucking into it again. So hopefully next year he plays better. But I do see the Atlanta Falcons. I know we're getting a little off topic here, but who cares? Right? We can do whatever we want. I do think the Atlanta Falcons draft a quarterback. And I do think it's likely going to be either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields if the Jets screw up and don't take Justin Fields. So I see Zach Wilson in Atlanta, and I see Ryan either in
San Francisco.
I see him gone though. I'm with you. I could see Ryan gone. I really could. All right, so
I'll take him in Indy.
Take him in Indy, man.
Yeah, no, dude. Matt Stafford's going to Indy. I already told you.
I'm hearing a lot of buzz, you know, in the underground about Easton. I think, you know, who I said would come in and help them in the playoffs this year, but they didn't put him in. They didn't listen to me. I'm hearing that he might be the guy next year, but, you know, all will be revealed in time, right?
I'm willing to give it a shot.
What's that?
I'm willing to give it a shot at this point.
Why the hell not? Rivers is done. But, all right, so following the snaps and the trends, one thing I like to do before we move on to defensive rookies is when I'm looking, I'm on MFL, myfantasyleague.com. I use that for all my IDP leagues. When I'm looking at guys that don't have on my roster, you know, free agents, I like to look, you know, in clips, like 5 or 6 week clips. Like that's how I follow. I'm not, you know, one to find the information on how many snaps they this week or that. I look at, you know, all right, from week 12 to last week. Say the last week was week 16, right? That's not a good example because that's the end of the league. So let's say week 6 to week 10, and it's week 11. So I want to see that 4 week clip. Do I want to pick this guy up? Or do I want to pick this guy up? And I try to see their numbers, you know, and then also I look at, you know, over, you know, 12-week clip, I look at, you know, maybe this guy has more points, but how many games was this guy hurt for? When was his bye? You know, and I try to average out what he's done on a weekly basis as opposed to what that guy's done. So that's something I do. And it's not like it doesn't work every time. You know, I don't always make the right decision because of that, but that's one thing I do to help me try to make those decisions. And one more tip before we move on to defensive rookies is when it comes to corners, one thing I always do, I always cut them in the offseason, I free up roster space, and I always pick up guys who are rookies and who are going to be opposite guys like Jair Alexander or opposite Jalen Ramsey. Why do I want those corners? I don't want a top-end corner unless he's going to get targeted a lot. If he's a top-end corner and he's not going to get targeted, I don't want him on my roster because he's not getting tackles, he's not getting pass deflections, he's not getting interceptions. Give me a guy who's either, like I said, a rookie on the other side of a lockdown corner, or here's a third thing, if he's on a defense who's going to be opposite an offense that's scoring 50 points a game. If I have a corner on Kansas City and we're scoring 40 points a game, what do you think the opponent's doing? The opponent's throwing the ball. So now I'm going to get more points. So I cut the corners, and then I pick up guys like that.
No, just to piggyback off that, I totally agree. That's great. Great stuff. Absolutely there. Another thing I look for in corners, I do the same thing. You might stream them, cut them, pick them up. Slot corners that are productive, like your Mike Hiltons in Pittsburgh and Kenny Moore in Indianapolis.
Logan Ryan.
They're in the slot. They're in the box. They're close to the line, and they blitz guys like that, right? So those are guys that'll have like a nice tackle floor for you too. So, and you want the guys opposite the studs that get targeted. You get the solo tackles. You get the pass deflections. That's great stuff for sure.
All right, so we're going to talk some IDP rookies before we get into some playoff discussion, and we're gonna learn something from you today.
I don't know about that. These cats.
So we're gonna go linebackers, edges, and then safety. So edges could be like some defensive IDP leagues. You know, they play either the base 4-3 defensive end or the 3-4 outside linebacker, or the 3-4, you know, defensive end. Those are guys that are going to be in the edge categories. Let's start with kinda probably like one of the big.
Kind of like what Rashawn Gary was supposed to be for me when I drafted him.
Rashawn, oh, man.
He was a lot better NFL player than fantasy player this year. I will say that. I was very surprised.
He's getting there.
I need that to translate.
Paramus Catholic, North Jersey. That's where Rashawn Gary came from, man. So, dude's an animal. All right. Starting with rookie linebacker Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. The hype train grew extremely throughout the season. This guy's film is awesome. He's a big dude who has a nose for the football. He's one of those guys who just – the ball just comes to him. And he's not, you know, the quickest, but he makes up for it with his angles, with his vision, and with his perception. So tell us a little bit about Zaven Collins.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Zaven Collins fan. He's probably one of my favorite players in the entire draft. Regardless position,
he's this year's Chase Young as far as IDP goes, like the number one guy.
I think Micah Parsons would be the dude for as far as number one asset. He's fantastic. Zaven Collins is just an absolute stud. I really liked his tape. He's big. He's 6'4", 260. And for a guy this size, he really moves fluidly. You know, he's explosive downhill as a tackler. He can drop in coverage. He's got really good feel in zone, and he can also blitz off the edge. So he has a lot to work with in his skill set. And I think, you know, the hype is really, really getting big with him coming from the small school. He really, like from Tulsa, he's really put himself on the map. He won the Chuck Bednarik Award and the Bronco Nagurski Award that both honored the top defender in the nation this year. So really like his game, and I'm hoping we get some kind of a combine because I want to see how we test.
So what were the name of those awards again?
The Chuck Bednarik Award.
Okay. And the
Bronco Nagurski Award.
We need to add, I said those were past players, right? Probably coaches and the Bellafuel. That's probably going to be the best linebacker in the IDP leagues going forward. We're gonna send out the Bellafuel Award to the best linebacker in Too Legit and the fictional. It's going to be an honor of you, my friend.
It'd be Fred Warner next year. You just traded me, Sheps. I'm excited.
Yeah, I did. 2 seconds. I got 2 seconds for him. I didn't want to get rid of him. I wanted a ticket to the show. In order to get into the draft, you got to give up pieces, you know? But Zaven Collins, I see a lot of Rolando McClain. You know, I do. Big dude, interceptions, tackles, thumper. You know, Rolando McClain, people remember him for the trouble he got in. But you go back and you watch his film at Alabama, and then when he got to Dallas his first year there, I do see a lot of similarities. You know, guys just know how to put themselves in the right spot. So Zaven Collins is a stud. Now, you alluded to Micah Parsons. Parsons is my one. He didn't play this year. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter. Even prior to the season, it was Micah Parsons to Dallas. And that was my – I wanted Micah Parsons in Dallas. And Shane Hallam, who's our resident draft expert, you know, would rub it in, you know, Sheps, you're not going to pick that high to get Micah Parsons. And then as the season went on, it was like, Shane, it's alive. And he'd say no. And then the next week, Shane, it's alive. And then it got to a point where above where Micah Parsons is going to go. And essentially we drop back down to 10. And I do think it's alive. And I do think we need linebacker. This dude's a playmaker. I told you guys, you know, watch his Citrus Bowl from 2019. The dude was all over the field. He had like something like 14, 15 tackles. So tell us a little bit about Micah Parsons, outside linebacker, you know, kind of tweener, middle linebacker from Penn State.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Just a stud defender. He's a dynamic player. He's explosive. He actually was a defensive end coming into Penn State when he got there. So the pass rushing skill is there too, along with his ability, you know, to just get downhill and make plays. He's just an impact player, makes impact plays. You're going to have to be in the top 10 to get him. So you guys are definitely in range. I love Micah Parsons. He's my number one IDP rookie asset. Just absolutely love his game. Think he's going to be a great player.
All right. And now this other guy, this next cat, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, is probably this year's version of Isaiah Simmons. Similarities in the sense that they both can play all over the field. And we actually had a good conversation on Twitter, Kyle, we had many of these throughout the years. And this is how we became friends. We just found interest, you know, in each other's comments and, you know, on certain players, and we would just go from there. But this cat, If you get a chance, I like to watch guys film, not just their highlight film. I like to watch their film. And sometimes it's tedious. It's taxing because they're not involved every single play. So with this guy, I recommend go watching his highlight film. You know, go watch Jeremiah because the dude is a thumper. He's a little guy. I think it was like 6'1", 6'2", maybe like 220 pounds, which they said Darius Leonard played at this year. So Darius Leonard played at 225. This guy's 220. So, you know, Leonard can do it. I'm not saying they're might be cut from a different cloth. We don't know yet because Leonard is a beast. But this guy can do it if Leonard does it. And he hits. He has like – he's going to punch you in the mouth play after play after play. That's what I liked about him. So give us a little bit about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Yeah, I'm big – like we talked – you said we talked on Twitter a little bit about him. Big fan of his game too. He really took a big jump this year. His game really popped. You said he's got kind of that tweener size, but like you see right away the physicality he brings to the table. I mean, he gets in there and mixes it up. Just super athletic. You can cover. You can move him around. He's one of them guys you're definitely going to want to watch to see what the draft process, what they're saying, what does he run? You know, what are teams thinking? He's a playmaker. Really like what he brings to the table. He's one of the top guys in this class for sure.
All right. We're smiling and laughing. We're not laughing at you. Justin throwing up. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. Justin throws up some good blurbs there. Justin mentioned that a guy can gain a lot of weight in one offseason. Just ask. You know, what worries me about Owusu-Koramoah is what happened with Simmons this year.
Sure.
It seemed to me like everyone was so high on his value because he can do so much, but the Cardinals didn't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. What do we do with them?
Right.
And
put them on the field. That's all you got to do. It's not that hard.
I get it. That's what you do. But it's like they didn't know. So this cat, I think a lot matters. You know, where does he go? And this is another guy. I hate to make this a Cowboy-centric show, but we got Dan Jones. You know, I think this guy could play that role in the defense. So it matters. Where does he go? What's the defensive coordinator? Do they know what they're going to do with him? I'm hoping with him, he goes from, you know, the somewhere between the 14 to 22 range because the less pressure, they don't feel like they got to figure it out. They just throw him on the field. When you take a guy top 10, you need to know, like, I need to know what I'm doing with this guy. And I think that's where some of the confusion came in with the Cardinals. The pressure was on. If he drops a little bit, there won't be as much pressure. He can just play. He can just get in there. And that's what I'm hoping with him. But all right, now I'm going to package these two names together because I want to get through linebackers and get into edge and safeties. Nick Bolton, Chaz Watt. I don't know much about both of them. I think Surratt plays in North Carolina. So why don't you give us a little bit of an analysis on both these guys?
Yeah, just real quick. Nick Bolton out of Missouri. Really, really physical player. He lays the wood as a tackler. High energy, high motor player. You watch him play. He's just super, super energetic out there. Really brings it. Really good instincts, and he's just really good at getting downhill and filling the gap, making the tackle. He's one of the players that you watch his tape and you really just like bang, it like just pops to you. He's just an impact linebacker. Chaz Surratt, North Carolina. He actually came to North Carolina as a quarterback. Wild, right?
Not gonna work for him there when you got Sam Howell over there.
So he made the transition to linebacker and
also smart. That goes and tells
you. Yeah. Right. Quarterback to defense. Right. You know, so he's really, really been coming along. He's got really good size. I believe he's like 6'3", 230. He's super physical, super athletic. He's explosive downhill. He shows good coverage abilities and, you know, saying he's a lays the wood. and with him being a quarterback and transitioning to the position the last couple of years, there's still room for him to grow there. And I think he's only going to get better. So, Bolton is throughout a couple names to keep an eye on for sure.
I just added them to my list. I got a doc where I do all my analysis. I just added both of them to that list so I can go ahead and check them out. All right, let's quickly get through edge.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about the safety class. Gregory Rousseau and Quiddy Pei. Why don't you tell us about those? I know Rousseau, he sat out this year. I was another guy, you know, I liked Parsons and I liked Rousseau because I like the characteristics and traits that Rousseau has. But tell me about these guys.
Yeah, Gregory Rousseau to Miami, Quiddy Pei to Michigan are two of the top guys you're going to see as far as edge or defensive linemen. Rousseau's big. He's 6'7", long arms. He can move along the front. He can kick inside a little bit off the edge. He's a little raw. He comes off a little high. He's a little stiff at times. But I mean, when he plays with extension, he can really control the pads and just drive it back. He's got a lot to work with. Really like his game. Kwity-Paye, I mean, he just the explosion of power off the edge is just evident with him. Great bull rush. He had 12 and a half sacks in 2019. This year, Michigan had like four games that are scheduled, so he didn't really get a ton this year. But he's one of the top guys too. You want me to just quickly go through some of the other ones?
Yeah, why don't you tell us then? Also, I see you on here, Joseph Asai, Patrick Jones, and Azeez Ojulari. Why don't you talk about those guys? I've been hearing about Azeez Ojulari, so I'm excited to hear your analysis there.
Yeah, Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, he's fantastic. He's got just really, really good bend off the edge. I mean, he can take the corner on you in a hurry.
He get played a lot is what I heard. Like it seemed like the head coach – like doesn't see in him what everyone else sees in him. Like, I don't think he plays all the snaps out there
this year. You know, he really put himself on the map, I'd say, this year. Yeah, I really like what he brings. My buddy Joey the Tooth over at IDP, guys, huge Ojulari fan. He's the one that kind of turned me on to him earlier. He's got really good athleticism, bend off the edge, and he can play standing up, his hand in the dirt. Definitely an impact player for Georgia this year. Really like what he brings. Joseph Asai out of Texas is a guy that I just really am intrigued with. He started off playing more of an off-ball linebacker role. And then this year, I mean, he had 90 tackles as a sophomore playing more of that off-ball. So, he's around the ball. But this year he transitioned to what they call their jack role. It's more of an edge role, pass rusher. And he really flourished. He just really made plays. He's got good length and speed and power off the edge. And he's absolutely relentless. His motor never stops. If you down block and don't account for him on the backside, he'll get down the line and make the play. You know, you got to account for him. Super intriguing player with his versatility in your scheme. Can play a 3-4, 4-3-N. He's a player I'm really, really intrigued by. And then Patrick Jones out of Pittsburgh. I think he is going to be a really good 4-3 defensive end. He's really good at attacking the outside shoulder. He can dip his shoulder, take it on you. He's got active hands, and he's really solid against the run. He can set the edge. He's really disciplined in assignments. He's just got a really good all-around player and really explosive off the edge. He's got a really fluid get-off, just real smooth player. I really like him as well. So those are just some of the guys I like as edge prospects.
All right, let's get into the safeties.
This is the
juice here. So Andre Sisco, Trayvon Moehrig from TCU, those are two of the, I think, the top names right now, at least not just IDP fantasy football, but for the NFL draft. Those guys are at the top. So why don't you tell me about those cats?
Oh, no. Andre Sisco is a player I've always liked. It was unfortunate he got hurt this year.
You don't hear a lot of guys coming out of Syracuse.
Right. His game is a super fun player to watch. He makes plays on the ball, picking off passes, you know. And he comes up and mixes it up well, too, you know. Just a bummer he got hurt this year. But skill-wise, he's a really good safety. And I know you're a fan, too. I think we've talked about him on Twitter. Just a really good player, and unfortunately, get to see him this year, but really like what he brings. And Trayvon Moehrig out of TCU, he just a guy that can patrol the middle of the field for you. He can go get it for you, get that turnover, and he'll mix it up as well in the box. Really like him.
He'd be a lot cooler if his name wasn't Moehrig, if it was Mordor. You know, it goes in that direction, but it doesn't.
I like it.
All right, out of TCU. So there's another cat from TCU. I can't think of his name right now, but I know he's a little guy.
Darius Washington.
Okay, tell us. I mean, he's not on the list. Can you tell us about him a little bit?
Oh, he's so much fun to watch. He's small. I think he's 5'10".
He's only a sophomore, right? But he's eligible. I think he declared.
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure I think he declared. Yeah, he's fun. I didn't watch a ton of his tape, but I have watched some to get familiar with him, watching Moehrig.
I like those little guys. I like Jordan Whitehead. Down in Tampa. Like, I like those little guys who fly around the field for sure.
He's definitely one of them. Plays with that edge on him, and he's just he's a fun player to watch. You know, he gets in there and mixes it up for sure.
All right, another fun player to watch. It's a guy I really like this cat, and I'm really hoping Dallas finds a chance to get him. There's always every year there's a safety I really like. A few years ago it was Chauncey Gardner Johnson, and he fell like fourth round, and we passed on him. I like Taylor Rapp. So every year there's a few guys I like. This year it's him, Talanoa Hufanga from USC. This guy is an alpha. He's an absolute alpha. He's all over the field. He's making plays everywhere. He stands out. He plants his flag in the middle of the field every single game. Tell us a little bit about Talanoa Hufanga from USC. Yeah,
like you said, he's a tone-setting safety. He comes up in the box, absolute impact player up in there. Physical, brings it. He plays with that edge, gets downhill. You can move him all around. You know, he's one of those guys. He's got good size, plays physical. He can make plays in the game as a tackler, in coverage. Really like his game. And, yeah, I would love to see him in Green Bay.
You guys got your safeties. You got Savage, right?
Yeah, but, you know, we play this weird one linebacker hybrid stuff. So, like,
yeah. Amos comes up into the box, and we'll just have two guys do that now.
There we go. I like it, Nate.
That's called the 4-2-5, all
right? Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
You have three safeties. You could do that. But I don't know. In the NFC North, it might be going in that direction, but I'm used to, you know, running the ball at deep. If you want to stop a guy like David Montgomery, you're going to have to switch over to the 4-5 defense likely.
So you can get rid of Blake Martinez, a guy that stops the run. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
Blake Martinez, if he's tackling the guy 7 or 8 yards up the field, it's only going to help David Montgomery's average.
Dude, that's how many yards a carry people average against Green Bay, at least like 6 to 7. That's just what we do, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to move on. All right, we're going to talk some Green Bay. All right, so that was it for the IDP discussion for the rookies. Go watch those guys. I added a few guys to my list right there. I'll throw those in the show notes so you can check them out. Let's get into some playoff discussion. We're in the twilight period of our episode here. We're 40 minutes in. We got about 20 minutes left. Oh, wait, we got a question. And this is from my cousin, my co. We own a website that makes it sound. We didn't start a website. We started a Facebook group. All right, so I apologize. Go on, winter family break. And we plan on doing, like, sport cards stuff, like breaks, boxes. Right now we're just kind of doing Razzes, which are essentially, like, you pay for a spot, we randomize the winner, so somebody won a Trevor Lawrence mini helmet for, like, $15 the other day. But anyway, Sean, he works with me on that. What are your thoughts on Buddy Johnson from Texas A&M? Not looking first round, but he was awesome this year. Have you watched him yet, Kyle?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched a ton of Buddy Johnson. I've heard good things, but he's a guy I'm going to have to dive into for sure.
Sean, I'm adding him to my list as well. So right now, I typed Buffy Johnson. So
does he play vampire?
This guy would be
a quarterback slayer.
Buffy Johnson just would be a vampire slayer. It was a Freudian slip. I didn't do it intentionally, but my mind is just always trying to, you know, make things a little cooler, and that definitely make his name a little bit cooler.
That's just one of your favorite TV shows you've been watching, John. It's okay. You're Buffy the Vampire Slayer guy.
You think I'm not ashamed? I watched Buffy, but, you know, I just finished Sabrina. I just finished Sabrina on Netflix. Me and my wife watched the shit out of that show. All right? You know, I didn't like the ending. It got a little weird. I mean, it was weird to begin with. All right, teenage witch, high school, but she also goes to devil school. It's real strange stuff. But
is Charmed next?
Charmed. I don't know. All right. I don't know. All right. But we also finished Cobra Kai. That was pretty sweet.
Nice.
I don't want to drop any spoilers.
Yeah, careful with that because I'm working on it right now.
The end of the season, like I had peace. Like the end of the last season was like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, how do we come back from this? But the end of this season was like, thank you. Like I have peace headed into the off season of this show. But all right, we could spend a whole episode talking about TV shows. I do want to get into another TV show, and it's called NFL Playoff Football. All right, we're gonna recap last week. Justin, why don't you give a quick recap of the playoff brackets? All right, and you can go through the scores as we discuss the playoff brackets. Spoiler alert: I did the worst out of everybody. So let's go.
So the playoff brackets, we did pretty well as a team, as a whole. John brought us down a little bit, but as a team, Nate and I, we picked you up, buddy.
But
I was 5-1, Nate was 4-2, John 3-3. But I don't know exactly what you want me to break down.
All right, so the first matchup here, we had Baltimore over Tennessee. I had Tennessee, and I think both of you had Baltimore.
Correct.
So Baltimore ended up winning that game 20-13. Tennessee couldn't get it going. Lamar Jackson looked, you know, elite at times athletically. He did have a very bad interception. This game is clearly going to lead into Baltimore-Buffalo. The way Baltimore ran the ball and the way that the next matchup, Indy ended up losing to Buffalo 27-24. Indy played Buffalo really well, right? Indy ran all over Buffalo. I'm interested to see how that Baltimore – we'll get into that in a few seconds, but The way that Indy played Buffalo makes me very intrigued with the way Buffalo is going to play. I'm sorry, Baltimore is going to play Buffalo. But I think we all had – Justin, did you have Indy over Buffalo?
No, I had Buffalo. We all had Buffalo.
All right, so we had a sweep there. And then Cleveland over Pittsburgh. I had Pittsburgh. Did anyone have Cleveland?
I did.
Justin, that's a home run right there, man.
Right.
Oh.
Over Pittsburgh, 48-37. I couldn't believe it. And then we still got the Pittsburgh Steelers players chirping. Chase Claypool sounds like an idiot after the game. Just like, they're going to get smacked next week. That's like, what a childish thing to say.
Yeah, while you're sitting at home on the couch playing Madden playoffs,
right?
They're out on the field playing actual playoffs.
Yeah.
They beat you twice in 2 weeks, and you still want to run your mouth.
He's a baby. That makes me want to – they're creating Cleveland Brown fans, I think. You know, as much as I don't think they're going to win against Kansas City, I would be okay with them winning. You know,
I'm cheering for the dog pound. I'm in. Go Browns. Go Chubb.
They did, man. I wanted to see if, like, put the
– Oh, that'd been awesome. I don't have one of those, though.
Pull out some gear. All right. Now let's get into the NFC. Tampa Bay over Washington. I believe we all predicted that as well. But Washington, Heineke, however you pronounce it, yeah, that dude played well.
Yeah, he did. He earned my respect.
Yeah, what former St. Louis Battlehawk, dude. Go, you know. He's awesome.
Huevos. His middle name is Huevos.
Yeah.
He had solid ones. Heineke,
Huevos, Heineke. We can come up with some good team names.
Yeah, dude, because he just – the gusto that guy had to come out in the playoffs and just cool, calm, and collected – you know, it's likely he'll never get another opportunity like that because I don't know if he can recapture what he did in that game. But he lived the moment, and he thrived, man. That was an excellent game. But Tampa Bay moved on. I think we all had Tampa. New Orleans over Chicago, I believe we all had that. Yeah. Kind of low scoring from New Orleans. That was probably the worst game of the weekend. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, it's got me worried about this next round pick that I have.
So. How about the fact that Washington – had 7 wins, and everyone was complaining about the NFC getting in there, NFC East, and Chicago ends up being the team that everyone was like, they do not belong. Go ahead,
Chicago. David. Chicago beat one team over 500 this year.
Oh, I'm with you.
It's just so, you know, that's what was like said. That's I thought Washington all along. You know that defense. I said it forever how good it was. You know, but it's just you know. I wish I would have got to watch the game on Nickelodeon. I heard the broadcast was awesome.
It was awesome.
The Washington defense in the in our what league was that where I won that league where we used
worst ball league. Yeah,
I scored like 10 points a week in that thing. I probably didn't draft Washington.
Washington defense carried me in that league, my friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Nickelodeon dude was a hit. My son, he watched the first time he's ever watched the whole game.
Yep. Yeah, I watched.
I wish I would have watched it.
I watched the whole second half of the Saints game on Nickelodeon because people were talking about it on Twitter. So I switched over to see what the fuss was about. It was really cool.
I think they should do that every week, man. I thought that was great, and not for nothing, that young kid who was like a sideline reporter.
Yeah,
this kid, like, he's the next. Who's the dude from American Idol? He's a radio host. Like, he
Seacrest?
Just
– Ryan Seacrest.
This kid, he's, what, 12 years old? And he's like –
14. Yeah. I heard an interview of him this week. He is awesome.
As soon as the camera would come on, he would drop what he was doing. He would start dancing. He would start talking. Like, he did a great job.
That's the next Ryan Seacrest. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Seacrest won. Yeah.
I'll buy a t-shirt.
All right. LA Rams over Seattle. I had Seattle in this one. I'm guessing you both had LA?
No, we all had Seattle.
Okay. So this was, if I would have picked the Rams, man, I could have caught up to you guys, but I didn't. So the Rams were banged up, man. Goff didn't start this game.
Yeah, I know. I thought that Wolford was going to play most, if not the whole game. So that was why I chose Seattle. Had I known Goff was going to come back in early, I probably still would have taken Seattle. So I can't really use that as an excuse. But
this was the Cam Akers coming out party, right? Like Cam Akers. Yeah. Jumped onto the scene this week. We all know who he is, but Cam Akers, this was like, this is my backfield.
Yeah,
I am the lead dog here.
And Seattle's run defense got better as the season went. They weren't a horrible run defense, and he made them look pretty bad.
Cam Akers played great.
Seattle flipped the script. Good offense first half, terrible defense, and then down the stretch, it was the complete opposite. So,
yep.
All right, now they want to run the ball more. That's what,
yeah, well,
that's what they're saying out there up in the Pacific Northwest. That dude's such a bonehead, right?
He's just out there chomping on his gum and running the football. That's all he wants to do.
He bothers me, man. Like, he just,
I don't like him.
His thing, like, his whole thing just bothers me.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of him or Nick Saban personally, or really, really Urban for that matter. And now Urban's going to our division rival. Well, not really rivals. It's not really much of a rivalry, but going to the Jaguars. So
that's Urban will do good for like a year or two, and then he'll, like, chaos will ensue, and
just quit like normal.
Yeah, he'll call him fire. They all
hell.
Times get tough. See you later.
I'm not feeling good. I'm out of here. So it's good, man. You're good. He's going to – if someone's going to ruin Trevor Lawrence, it'll be Urban Meyer. It won't be year one or year two, but it'll probably be year three and all.
Well, it's just Jacksonville in general.
Yeah. Yep. They I'm sure they miss Mark Brunell and Fred Taylor. You know, those were the good old days. All right, let's move on to a preview of this week's playoff action. And let's start. We got Baltimore, who's the 5 seed, at Buffalo, who's the 2 seed. I'm going to start on this one. I think this is a when I saw this on paper immediately after the games were over this weekend, I'm like, Buffalo's going to win. But the more I thought about the way that Indy played Buffalo and how bad they looked on defense, I thought Baltimore can do this. And also, what intrigues me about Baltimore is, you know, Marcus Peters, you know, and Marlon Humphrey, those are two guys who I think excel in big moments. And, you know, Marcus Peters isn't the type of guy you want on Stephon Diggs. He's more of a big physical corner. But I can see these guys, like, if they get going and if they get up, right, they're leading, and they make a few big plays, they're momentum guys. And it could fully go in Baltimore's favor, you know, by halftime. You know what I mean? Buffalo needs to get on them early. If Buffalo doesn't get on them early, they're in trouble. But, Kyle, I want to pass it to you. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yes, I'm really intrigued by this matchup. The one thing to watch is Baltimore blitzes, I believe, more than anybody. And Josh Allen is, I think he had the most touchdown passes against the blitz. So that is going to be something to watch. They're going to bring pressure and watching Josh Allen do his thing. And like you brought up with the corners, I don't know if you guys knew this. I was surprised when I saw the stat. Marlon Humphrey led the league in forced fumbles. So, you know, just impact player there. Them bringing the heat on Josh Allen, and Josh Allen, you know, is good against the blitz this year, is going to be something to watch.
All right. Guys, I'm adding to the show notes. I know we have brackets, but our brackets are kind of busted. So we're going to make predictions on this game, all right, so that we could add to our score. And even we'll keep the brackets for something else. We'll still keep that as, like, the main thing. But I do want to make predictions. Before we move on, Justin, I'm going to let you go. I'm taking Baltimore this week because I got to catch up. So, Justin, you're up.
All right. So I had – Baltimore Buffalo already set up here, and I'm gonna stick with my original projection with Buffalo. I'm gonna give you that opportunity to try to catch up here, John. But I agree with you. I do agree that run game for Baltimore started to come alive against Indianapolis, and Indy does have a pretty tough defense, so it was impressive. But I think their run game is more quarterback centric, and for what it's worth, I know NFL teams don't practice like they used to practice, or even practice like they do in college and high school. But Buffalo's defense is used to seeing a running quarterback in practice, and I'm sure that there has been plenty of opportunity for them this week to get set up and ready for that. I think they can find some game film on how to help contain Lamar just enough to win that game. So I'm going to stick with Buffalo.
All right, Nate.
Yep, got to stick with my Bills. I've been on the train all year, ain't gotten off yet. So, I think that the Ravens will be able to run the ball pretty easily. That Bills run defense has been pretty suspect down the stretch, especially. I thought I saw a stat where Josh Allen has been pretty good against man coverage, and I think the Ravens run quite a bit of man. You know, they're not scared to blitz everybody except a couple cornerbacks, so mm-hmm. That'll be fun to watch.
You know who's really good against man coverage? Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is very hard for a single person, a mortal, to cover. So this could be a Cole Beasley game. All right. So you DFS players, it's a little bit of a teaser. All right. Cleveland at Kansas City. I think Cleveland's going to try to run the ball. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what Cleveland's going to do because they got Baker Mayfield at the helm, and he might be feeling himself. So maybe they're going to try to go toe-to-toe with this Kansas City defense. So I think this is a very intriguing matchup. I'm taking Kansas City, you know, but I hope that Cleveland makes it a game and they look like they belong there. You know, I think it can go one or two ways. You know, I think it could be bad, real bad, or, you know, or good. Because also Kansas City's been off for a week. So that sometimes that affects teams. So, Kyle, what are your thoughts on Kansas City, Cleveland?
Yeah, definitely. I think Cleveland's going to try to establish the run with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Maybe try to dictate game flow a little bit early on. You want to keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hand as much as you can. So if they can establish the run, I think they're going to try to do that. Got to get some pressure on Mahomes with Myles Garrett. You know, you got to blitz him. You got to get after him. I think they're going to have to throw it too. I mean, there's going to be points scored. Jarvis Landry's going to have a nice game for Cleveland. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Cleveland can establish the run early on, which I think they have the capability to do that. And if they can dictate a little tempo early on and get things a little bit in their way, you know.
All right, Nate, what are your thoughts? Who are you picking?
Well, my bracket says the Chiefs, and I think they're just too good. I think they can pretty much do whatever they want. I know that Browns are going to run the ball like crazy and try to keep Mahomes off the field, but I think that the Chiefs can score so quick that I don't think the Browns can keep up, regardless of how, you know, how I think the Chiefs could have the ball, you know, for 20 minutes and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Yep. Because they could probably score five times in that 20 minutes. Justin, yeah. What are your thoughts?
I agree. Kansas City.
All right. We got Kansas City all across the way. Justin, tell us about Tampa Bay, New Orleans. I want you to start. Tampa Bay is the 5 seed, New Orleans the 2 seed. Who do you got?
Okay. Yeah. So my bracket got a little bit mixed up there. So I just got confused for a second. But so New Orleans is facing Tampa Bay. I originally had New Orleans down to play Seattle, and the way teams are set up, I feel like that was a no-brainer to take New Orleans to the next round. But now they're facing Tampa Bay instead. That's not as much of a no-brainer, in my opinion, just because I think that Leonard Fournette, and if Rojo does play, I think that combination could be just enough. But New Orleans' run defense is really good, and I don't know if just enough is going to be good enough, but. But personally, I still think that New Orleans is going to be too much for Tampa Bay to handle.
All right, so we got Saints there for Justin. Nate.
Go Bucks. Drew's last game in the Superdome, Drew's last game in the NFL.
He's got the Bucks. So this was my NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. So I'm not going to be able to get that, but I'm hoping that's the type of game we get. And I have the Saints winning this one. I think Kamara is going to be – Tampa Bay is really good against the run. Very good against the run, but I do think Kamara is just he's the best player on the field. He's going to get it done. And that's with Tom Brady out there, with Drew Brees, with Michael Thomas, with all those guys. So I got the Saints. Kyle, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, both teams are good against the run. Kamara's a beast. A lot of what Tampa Bay does on defense is predicated on their ability to get pressure. They like to send the heat. Me and Nate saw that when they played Green Bay this year. You know, they got Jason Pierre-Paul had a real nice year. They got Shaq Barrett, Dominican Sue. If they can get pressure on Drew Brees, that could really affect the passing game. Can they establish a run? Like Justin said, New Orleans' run defense is real stout. Can Tampa establish a run game? And, you know, is Brady slinging it to his weapons with Godwin and Evans and Gronk up the seam and Antonio Brown? Definitely looking forward to watching this game.
Two young good safeties in this game with Antoine Winfield Jr. and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Absolutely. I love
Winfield. Gardner-Johnson gets somebody thrown out every game.
Dude, nobody talks more trash than him.
I don't want that guy in my locker room, but he's fun to watch. Everybody wants to punch that guy. Michael Thomas is never getting in fights.
I like Michael Thomas, but I'm starting to think he's a B-word. A little bit of a B-word.
Yeah, he is. Ohio State Bucknut.
Yeah. Thank you, Nate. Thank you. Pull that together.
We're a family-friendly show here. Nickelodeon's coming for us.
Yeah.
No swear.
All right. This last one we got right there coming for us. The last one we got is the Rams at the Green Bay Packers. Nate, I'm going to let you start, and then Kyle, you can go after him. Tell us how this one's going to go, Nate.
It's going to be, I think, pretty low scoring. I think you know, obviously I got to cheer for my Packers. I think that defense is going to, you know, be a fun one for us to watch. I do, you know, I know Jalen Ramsey's probably the best we've seen in a long time. But when it's, you know, the best against the best, or one of the best, whatever, you know, he's talking about Rodgers or Adams, whatever, I kind of give the edge to those guys just because in man-to-man, you know, I think Rodgers has a little bit of an edge. You know, I'm not saying that he's going to just beat him up and down all day because he won't.
What did Rodgers used to do to Sherman?
Throw away from him?
I don't even remember.
I do. Didn't target him at all.
That's fine. He just started to old Big Bob Tonyan. No big deal.
Big Bob, baby.
But I think Donald's going to have a good game. Obviously, you know, bringing pressure if he's healthy, if he doesn't get tie rotted with his long shot. But it'll be fun. I don't know if the Rams will be able to do anything on offense just because, I mean, they'll be able to run the ball, obviously, because our defense doesn't, unless you're Derrick Henry, we stop him. That's it. You know, Montgomery looked good. Akers will look good. But I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. You know, in my opinion, from things I've heard too, you know, Goff looked healthy last week. He did every single thing he would have done normally, and he wasn't going to start. And then, that's what it looks like. It's like that maybe they're kind of, yeah, maybe the Wolf was the guy they wanted in there. You know, that's what it just felt like anyways. So I think it'll be a good game. I think the Rams cover, but I think the Packers win.
All right, Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to go with my Packers too. Like Nate alluded to, the Ramsey-Devontae Adams matchup is one to watch. It's going to be a battle out there. Also, like the secondary weapons for Green Bay, Lazard, MBS is going to have to make sure he actually looks the ball into his hands today. But Robert Tonyan definitely is going to have to have a big game. We got to stop the run. They're going to try to establish Cam Akers, and if you can establish the run and their defense plays the way they have been, I mean, they can really dictate what's going on. So going to have to try to slow Aaron Donald down and stop the run. And I'm going to take Green Bay, but I expect a fight. It's going to be a good game.
Like both of these teams are built around stars, you know, this is going to be a very, you know, star-filled, filled game. It's not everywhere, but like the ones that are out there are like the top of the top. Justin, who do you got this week?
So I think the third quarter is when it's going to break open. I think the Rams will be able to keep it pretty close for the first half. And then in that third quarter, we're going to see Goff throw a big interception. And then on that next drive, my boy from the preseason that hasn't done much all year, I'm calling it. Jay Sternberger is going to score a touchdown in the third quarter after that interception.
You better go to a betting website and put some money on an anytime score for Jay Sternberger, because if you believe that, you could win yourself some money.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't do those sites. You know that. But
I will.
But there you go. Win some money off of me. He's gonna help break that open, and from there on out, it's gonna be all the Packers, because once the Packers have the lead, that the run game for the Rams aren't gonna be nearly as important. So. So I think I'm going to stick with the Packers. That's who I had going into it. That's who I'm going to stick with.
Man, I'm going to just be a contrarian here. I'm going to go Rams because everybody's going Packers, and I need to catch up. I like Jalen Ramsey versus Devontae Adams. I like Cam Akers versus that defense. I like Aaron Donald. You know, you can't bet against Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron Rodgers, so I'm probably going to get crushed. But I'm going to go Rams because I do, you know, I'm really looking forward to this, and I think it's going to make it more juicy for me to have, you know, vested interest in it. And now I have a little bit more vested interest because I'm going against the team that's favored. Picking the underdog here is going to make it a little more exciting for me. So I got the Rams. All right. I know Nate had to dip. All right. He had to cut out everybody. I think he lost the internet or something happened over there. But real quick before we cut out, some betting lines that caught his eye. He had Kansas. He likes the over in Kansas City versus Cleveland, over 57. He liked the over in Buffalo versus Baltimore, over 49. He likes the over in New Orleans versus Tampa, over 52. He likes Dobbins to go over 60.5 rushing yards and Chubb over 70.5 rushing yards. So there's some bets. And we're going to add that you can bet on Justin's guy. He's going to have Jay Sternberger scoring a touchdown. It's probably really good odds there. So you probably don't have to put a lot on there. You put $20 to win, you know, probably $200 on something like that, maybe even more. So go ahead. And real quick, my DFS plays for this week: Lamar Jackson at Buffalo, 7,600. Chubb at Kansas City, 6,600. Akers at Green Bay, 5,700. Tyreek versus Cleveland, 8,000. Hollywood Brown at Buffalo, 5,200. Cole Beasley, I teased this earlier, versus Baltimore, 4,900. Tonyan, you guys talked about him, versus the Rams, 4,200. Mark Andrews at Buffalo, 5,000. I like the Ravens defense today at Buffalo, 2,800. All right, so that's my DFS lineup now. Kyle, this has been a jam-packed episode. We got a lot in here, man, and we really appreciate you coming on. I do think everybody who listened to this episode who has never played IDP before, even guys who have played IDP before, I think they got a lot out of this one, man. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. Definitely enjoyed hanging out, talking football, you guys, talking a little IDP, a little playoffs, draft stuff. No, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. This was great.
Excellent, man. And everyone can go find Kyle on Twitter at KBellF54. I'm going to put that in the show notes. And reach out to him on Twitter because he'll get back to you. You got any questions? He's consistent, man. He's one of the good ones. Justin, man, it's been good having you back again this week, every week, my co-host. And I know Nate dipped, but Justin, I'm gonna pass it over to you, my friend.
So Kyle, the one thing that I appreciate the most about having guests on is that I don't even really have to look at the show notes. I don't have to do a lot of prep. We're bringing you on to talk about what you're knowledgeable at, and you proved today that you are definitely knowledgeable at IDP. So I appreciate your efforts and your work. And I know I was kind of joking there, but it was nice to meet you. We've been in this league together for 2 years now, so it's nice to put a face to the name.
All right, and you can find Kyle's stuff over at IDP Guys. What's the website for IDP Guys? I know it's down right now, but where can they find it?
It's idpguys.org. Simple. And like I said, it's down right now till Super Bowl, but that's just because Nate, the owner, is re-imaging, and we'll be back around Super Bowl time and ready to rock, and we'll have lots of content for you. So,
all right, so make sure you go check that out. And if you're watching the show, check out our YouTube link. Sorry, my dog's going nuts. My kids and my wife all woke up within the last hour, and now it's romp room upstairs. But go hit the like button on YouTube, subscribe, give us a review on Apple Podcasts. All of that is greatly appreciated. You can follow the show on Twitter at Toilets and Titles. I'm on Twitter at Coach Sheps. Justin is at Justin FF_. Nate is at Nate_Dirt19. And all off season, we're going to be here for you guys. We're ready to roll. Hit when you're in startups. You got trade discussion, rookie draft discussion, whatever you have, we're going to have an episode for you. But we also will be available for you if you have any questions. My DMs are open. Hit me up, tweet at me, whatever. We'll do our best to help you out. We really appreciate you guys joining us. Enjoy playoff football, because before you know it, it's going to be over and we're going to be in the off season. So really, you know, get those wings, get those beers, whatever you like. Sit down, take it all in, especially if your team's even in the playoffs. You're the underdog. You're not expected to win. Don't pout. Enjoy it, because anything can happen, and you got to live in hope. It's all about hope, because that's the biggest season of hope is the next season, the off season, because everyone's 0-0. But right now, if you're in the playoffs, enjoy it. All right. Enjoy it. All right. So we will catch you all later on.